introduce yourself, please?
Sure, I'm Carey, I play bass.
I'm Joel, and I sing and play guitar.
And you do sound just like the singer on the album.
I do. Well, you know, I've been working on that for many years.
To sound like the singer on the, just the singer on the album.
Just like him, yeah.
It's a good start. American tour, first leg opening for Snow Patrol. Did their fans treat you kindly?
They're actually, you know, they're really, really, really lovely fans. And I think they were very suited to us. And so we really enjoyed ourselves, you know. And because we sold lots of CDs at the end of the evening, which is always good. Yeah, so, you know, it's just, you know, every night, really, it was just, it's really nice playing those kind of things where you have to get up and just go, right, okay, here we are, you haven't heard of us, you know, now we're going to try and impress you. And it's nice when you just get that reaction throughout, you know, from that initial who on earth are you to at the end, you know, people just going, wow, we really love that.
Yeah, the surprise is actually some more of the fun, because that way you really can kind of test it all.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a bad thing in the long run.
Totally.
As long as it goes right. Okay, your tour diary. I read your tour diary. Oh yes. So let me take you through some of the things you've been through, and then
tell
we can
us what happened.
Oh, let's see, you had last minute passport issues. You had 21 cases of guitars and gear to get inspected.
Yeah.
You had some really lousy opening act in St. Louis. You had your clothing.
I just want to make sure that we didn't say that.
That was our tour manager
who said that, not us.
Yeah, but nobody's going to hear this in St. Louis, and if they do, they're in St. Louis. Who cares? You had your clothing was stolen in New York.
Yeah.
It's going to get better from here.
This is just the top.
This is just the top of the. This is just. I know, but you read it and you're kind of like, okay, let's see. They couldn't get on the plane. They lost their guitars, passports. Holy shite.
No, so far that's.
But it makes for great reading. It's a good novel.
Good. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, Ian has really been the one on this tour because he left his mobile phone in the cab in New Orleans as well. So he's had his clothing nicked and left his mobile phone.
Party.
And he's lost two bank cards as well. So, and one of them was mine, which was good.
He lost one of your bank
cards.
Nice,
well, so.
Nice. Just don't share underwear, okay?
I'm keeping that to myself.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's get right to it. Elvis Costello kept his audience waiting for 3 hours during that little Liverpool championship. 3 hours.
I don't blame you.
Did you do the same?
Yeah, well, we were actually in Atlanta.
3 hours they waited for the Liverpudlians to do their thing.
So cool. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, we think we're dedicated to football, but come on, you guys have it over us by a long shot.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, people, you know, are completely, completely mad about football. You know, it is their life for a lot of people. It is.
Well, I mean, everything from the commitments, you know, Roddy, you know, I mean, everybody, it just goes nuts.
Yeah. Well, we were going absolutely nuts in it.
Well, this was a good one, though.
Oh, yeah.
There was the right result.
Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually.
I've never been through such a range of emotions from complete despair to complete elation in, like, 2 hours ever. So it was good.
Don't tell that to his girlfriend. Never mind.
Yeah.
Leave that alone.
I tell that to her all the time.
She
loves it.
Yeah. How does it feel? I mean, you've played the big festivals back home, you know, you've played small gigs with 40 people, but I mean, you're now promoting this record in America, and this is kind of new. And I mean, you played Glastonbury, you've been shortlisted for the Mercury Prize, and I read that you said you didn't think you had a chance, you know, of winning it, but we all know about that. But I mean, hit singles here are not easy. Mm. In fact, this is, even though we think this is a singles culture here in America, you know, it is still a singles culture over there. So what's it kind of feel like to kind of, you know, after you've played Glastonbury and, you know, Mercury Prize and all of that, and here you are in America?
Well, it feels exciting to us to come somewhere new and try out something again. I mean, one of the most exciting times for us back at home was right at the beginning where you're playing little shows and people are starting to get into it. It's kind of a really exciting time for a band when that starts to happen. It kind of feels like the same kind of thing over here. It's just, I mean, it's trying to like to do well in not just the UK, but the whole of the UK and the whole of Europe in one go. It's such a huge place. It's just a very different thing, but it's been really exciting just to see people start to go, actually, you're all right.
Well, yeah, and you know, I, as one who, for better or for worse, reads that little tattle sheet with the N and the M and the E in it, you would think that every single band in England, you know, between that and Zane Lowe getting on with every single record and saying, this is the best record I've heard all year. You know, yeah. It's easy to feel the hype, but in the end, you've got to conquer a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the, you know, people appreciate discovering things, and that's why it's nice to actually come over here. And yeah, it's a huge place, but and yeah, we're a small band, and you know, we're just playing small gigs, you know. But it's, I think it's nice for people to just be able to experience that and not to have read. You know, in that particular paper or any other press, you know, that this is the best new band, you've got to hear them.
That's almost the boy. That's bad sometimes.
You know, you're gonna like them basically, and people just go, oh yeah, I do, and they haven't even heard anything, and so you
know,
it's
a good way to go.
And so a lot of band, you know, then there's a lot of bands that can just come over here and you know, they expect to be, you know, just as huge or whatever as they are.
Yeah, and I can tell you, because there's probably not one of those NME bands that hasn't passed through here. I mean, it was British Sea Power a few weeks ago. It was the Kaiser Chiefs. I could go on and on and on with bands that come over here and then they're shell-shocked because they kind of say, wait a minute, we're it. And I'm talking about not your attitude, but some of them, we're it over there. You know, the NME wrote us up and we're it. And then they get here and people are kind of like, well, they're humming to I Predict a Riot, but the rest of it, they're like,
yeah.
You know, and so it's not that easy. Now, you've even re-released singles over there, which is an unusual thing to do. It used to be done in the old days. I mean, there are 60s hits that have been re-released in like 1962, and then they released it again in 66. But, you know, it's kind of unusual to do, but I think it's probably because you know what the game is.
Yeah,
and the timing too.
Yeah, I think, you know, also it's the record label that we were on, you know, being on Parlophone in the UK, which, you know, has such a great history with bands like, you know, Beatles and Rolling Stones.
I have my original Parlophone red label Beatles stuff. Oh, yes.
And so it's just, you know, I think with them, they still have that ethos and that way of working bands, which is just, you know, no big hype, no big... This is the next
thank goodness.
Movie. What a concept.
And, you know, and they're just like, look, get out on tour. People need to see you play live. You need to be a good band live. And let's just put this single out and see how it does. And, you know, so we do that. We, you know, the initial EP that we put out, West Side, which was, you know, just a demo that we'd done, really, you know, went out and that, you know, was picked up by some radio stations and stuff and did really well. And so then, you know, but then later on, once we'd taken it that step further, it was like, well, hey, this is a really good song. Let's, you know, put it out again.
Let's get it back out there in its real form.
Yeah.
But it was only a limited edition when we first put it out. I mean, it was 2,000 copies. Do you know what I mean? It was hard to get hold of. And that was kind of part of the point, is just to kind of put out something really small, really limited, and just see how people's reactions. And so it wasn't like anybody really had had the opportunity to ever buy it or own it at that point. And so... And even on radio, it did well for where it was at, but it was only a small release. And so we thought later on coming back to it was actually quite a good idea.
No, very, very smart. So I went back and listened to the tracks from the first album. And I read that you put a lot of thinking for Tourist into the textures and the styles. And you also went back and listened to a lot of your favorite records.
Hmm.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, initially, you know, we, I think as we always do with writing, you know, you just write whatever's coming out, you know, and just trying to just go with whatever you're feeling. And so those, you know, the first three songs, Wires, Tourist and Chances, I think really were that. And then we were able to, at that point, you know, kind of look back at those three and go, well, this is really good. This is a really good new direction. And there's there's this kind of space in there, but maybe we can then just, you know, just thinking about the arrangements and stuff if we're going to use strings, how to leave space for the strings to actually do something as opposed to
have a purpose in life other than, oh, let's just make a lush record.
Exactly, you know.
A lot of that out there these days.
That was the thing. So then we were like, okay, so, you know, that, you know, we're listening to Sea Changes by Beck or, you know, like the Sigur Rós stuff, and you just go, well, man, these strings have a purpose to them. And so just... I mean, it's all a learning process, isn't it? Really?
There's a line in Chances, which I do have to read off my piece of paper. If I had the chance to start again, then you would be the first one I'd come and find. Like the poster of Berlin on my wall, maybe there's a chance our walls might fall. Possibilities for a romantic comeback, but not overly optimistic.
At the end of the day, you know, it's just basically going, well, you know, look, there's been times in the past, you know, where I've been a, can I say, bastard?
You did.
I've been a bastard, and made
not possible.
Made a lot of mistakes, and you know, so there's that kind of sense of regret in those lines. But I think there's also a sense of hope that, and it's kind of just going, well, is there? Yeah. You know, and almost asking the question, I think, to the second party, going, there is still a chance, isn't there?
But let me continue the tour, pun intended, and here comes the worst pun. Time I got to Trading Air, it hit me that the person singing these songs has been really hurt, and Wires is where the pain becomes electrifying.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I mean, Wires, I mean, that's the most personal song on the record. It basically wrote it just a couple of months after my daughter was born. Basically, you know, it's just this... you know, after the elation of the birth and everything, that just being the most amazing experience. Kerry was talking about the football match earlier, but I mean, think, you know, this was just...
My daughter is equal to football. Thank you very much.
No, but this is like that times... Whoa. I'm saying that times 10 from like one emotion to the next.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically, you know, I had this phone call from my wife a few hours after... Mila was born, and just saying she's had a seizure and she's in intensive care. Mm. You know, you've got to come back. And so the song was just about that moment, having to rush back into the hospital and trying to deal with all the emotions throughout that night, and just, you know, sit as I was sitting there with Mila and just holding her hand through this plastic box, you know, and not knowing what on earth was going to happen or what was wrong. And just trying to find some hope, really.
Okay. 30 seconds into Chances, and what's interesting about Chances for me is it kind of starts out and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be an athlete song, and then suddenly the level of orchestration just gets layered, and then it gets huge, and there's flutes and beats and bells and gospel choirs. Tell me about the production of the record a little bit.
Well, production for us is generally, it's a real evolution from start to finish. That, from when the songs are written, before ever a producer or anybody gets kind of close to it, we generally kind of demo up our songs and come up with lots of ideas and try different things out. And then hopefully as a producer gets involved, then we all kind of bounce ideas off each other. And so it's a very much overlap.
It's an organic process.
It kind of sounds a cliche, but...
No, it doesn't, because we go through a lot of the what does the producer's role, you know, and bands either take advantage of it or they don't.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been one of those things. I mean, as a four-piece, we're all very opinionated about what we think, and so there's a lot of kind of voting that goes on. So having a fifth person to vote
really helps.
Helps a lot rather than flipping a coin. But it's one of those things that it does. Songs change quite dramatically from the beginning to the end, but it's an enjoyable kind of process where you try something out, it doesn't work, you try something else, it does work. And I mean, the gospel choir was a bit like that for us, wasn't it?
For us as well, I think, you know, like with the first album, we've always been the type of band who we like to, you know, songs to take twists and turns and to have dynamics. And, you know, with a band like the Pixies, that's all, you know, they've always been, you know, just the way they can just take something down and then just suddenly it will explode, and just the energy in that. And I think, you know, we've always been into those kind of dynamics, and so doing things within songs that maybe people just aren't expecting.
It's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. For us as well, creating something like that, it's a lot of fun. Keeps it really interesting and fresh.
Well, like I said, you know, a track like that, the build for me was just, I listened to it again, you know, this morning, and I said, wow, this is, somebody thought about this. You know, this, you can't do that without some serious thinking. You know, not at that level of reality. So one of the quotes that I read somewhere in one of the bios or somewhere said that you want to be proud of this album 20 years from now. So let's get back to 1985. Who do you think had an album in 1985 that they can be proud of 20 years from now?
You too have got to have had a few albums throughout the 80s. They can still be proud.
They might have a chance. Yeah, they might do it.
Rough idea that they could have. Who else?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, like, you've got all, like, New Order and Joy Division from that kind of time. You know, a bit before that.
And they're still, and water is still around.
And they're still around, you know. And that's,
so Joy Division now, kind of.
Yeah, sort of, kind of, yeah.
Sort of, kind of, minus a front man. But I think Michael Jackson can be proud of Thriller.
Yeah.
Was that 1985?
It was all around then, wasn't it? I suppose, yeah. Off the Wall was early 80s, and then Thriller, and then you had Bad at the end of the 80s, so yeah.
No, they are, despite current events, he might get acquitted purely on talent alone. that didn't come out right, did it? Or he might get convicted based on talent alone. Oops. See, you say things and then you want to just put them right back, don't you?
We've had many moments like that, yeah.
The video for Wires is really kind of wild to watch. So tell me about the concept on that. Did you have some good input on that?
Yeah, well, we just hooked up with this director called David Chardois. And, you know, he just told us about this place, really, the way he was thinking about shooting the video. When one location would be an old U.S. Army base in Norfolk. Which is on the coast of east coast of the UK, and then just about 15 miles from there was this island which the UK government used to do weapons testing on and all sorts of stuff. And one of those places that wasn't on the map until 1985.
Yeah, it was.
And so it's just this really odd place with these weird, you know, buildings where they apparently used to test nuclear weapons and radar and stuff like that. And there's just this one guy who lives on the island with his dog.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah, and it's just such a really barren place, and like you have to stick to the path because there's still like kind of bombs that are lying in the shingle.
Okay, I'm going to test your athletic abilities. You ready? The last thing that we do, and this is what we fill out the rest of the hour with, is we are going to do an athlete musical sandwich. And here's how it works. Two of your songs are the bread, and then you can pick a whole pile of music in between.
24 hours.
Okay. And the last one I love, right at the end of the album.
Oh, man, that's like the drunken love song, yeah. Boy. That's the ultimate get drunk love song, isn't it?
And then in the middle, I'd really, really, if you can
and
find.
I need a bunch of them. So.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Eustace Conker, Time Code.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go for an old one. Life on Mars, David Bowie.
Excellent.
Lovely, lovely. Sly and the Family Stone, Running Away.
Why don't we do a Beck one? Have you got At Home with the Groove Box, Boys?
Sure.
By Beck.
Yes.
What do you know? The Connor record.
Yeah.
The Shimushi by Fortet.
Excellent.
God Only Knows.
Beach Boys.
Can't go wrong with that, boy.
Neil Young, On the Beach.
Good vibe.
Excellent.
Could we have Us, Regina Spektor?
Absolutely.
Have you heard the Mia album? Just play the single.
Okay.
Just
All
play
right,
the single.
Cool.
Is that one which goes, hello? You're gonna play this, aren't you? But she goes, hello, Miss MIA, that one.
Oh, can we have Fisher Spooner? Is it Never Win?
Okay, you got a closer?
Sigur Rós Stárfoster.